Well, hello, my brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman Compton. I'm here with you today on the ABCs of Christian Growth, and welcome back. It's been a little while since we've, or at least between our last lesson, we closed out, which was the letter T, and tithing and stewardship. And today we're going to start a brand new letter, the letter U, and it's going to be concerning unity and what the Bible has to say about unity. Unity is a very important truth in the Scriptures, and it's something that the Lord has been dealing with man ever since he made man. Man has a different idea about unity since the fall. And man wants to come together for the wrong reasons, and the Lord doesn't want us to, because we get in trouble when we get together in the wrong ways. Now, there's nothing. There is a good unity and there's a bad unity, and we have the enemy running around here on earth trying to get everybody together, especially in these days that we're living in, trying to get everybody together for the wrong reasons. But we're going to get into that, and we're going to find out what our Bible has to say about unity. And we're going to believe what the Lord says, and that'll be truth, and that'll be our doctrine, because that's what the Lord says. Amen? Let me read you something here. Some fella gave me this a long time ago, and I read it every now and then. It's always been encouraging to me. You probably got some things like that. But this thing, maybe some of you need this. I was just thinking about you and wanted to encourage you a little bit. But the title of it's called Don't Quit. Don't Quit. And maybe that's already rung a bell in you. I'm not sure, but I hope this helps you. Listen to this. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight. When you're hardest hit, it's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Amen? Isn't that good? That's good. I like that. I read that every now and then. You know, it's so true. It's so true. It seems like when things are, when they're the very worst, and I don't know, when we really don't have a worst as far as being born again and being in the family of God, we have everything to look forward to. Like Paul said, these little trials that we have down here are not going to be nothing compared to the glory that we're going to have in with the Lord when we get there. But Paul got to see glory a couple times, and we haven't seen it. But the Lord Jesus Christ left us with a message about that too. He said, blessed are ye that have not seen and believed. Remember that? And that's us. That's us. But we're not going to take anything from Apostle Paul, because he's the one that's a New Testament apostle for us. And he's the one that's been teaching us and telling us the truth about what Christianity is about and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And he's the one that we follow now. As like Paul said, follow me and I follow the Lord, you see. So don't give up. Don't give up. You can't give up. I mean, how are you going to give up? You're in the family of God. You can't get out of the family of God. Once you're born again, you're in the family of God, and you can't get out no matter what you want to do. You can misbehave and go out and act like an idiot and let the world beat you up some, let the devil beat you up some, but you can do all that if you want to, but you can't get out of the family of God. You can misbehave and get our Heavenly Father after you and make him give you a spanking. But I'm tired of going through them classes, ain't you? So, let's not quit. Just all you got to do, I mean, the Lord said the fiery trials which are to try you. Now, he wasn't kidding when he said that. If you've been through any trials as a Christian, what I'm talking about is that you're doing right and you're being punished for it. And you don't know where the punishment's coming from and you can't change it. And you can't help yourself. All you can do is just sit and wait it out and suffer. And it's terrible. But the Lord said it's for our perfecting. And that he's behind every bit of it, and nobody does anything unless he says it's okay. And the Lord said he wouldn't put more on us. Now, that's a verse that's spoken so many times, but when you're in the middle of it and the fire is real hot, it's a whole different thing, ain't it? He said he wouldn't put more on us than we can handle. And I trust him for that, don't you? So just don't quit. That's what you got to do. Just don't quit. Just hang in there. Hang in there. Okay? Now, talking about this unity. Talking about unity. Well, you know, we hear a lot of talk about unity today. And that's one thing that the unsaved, the heathen, the ones that hate God and don't want God in the country, don't want God in their family, don't want God telling them what to do and telling them this, that, and the other, don't want nothing to do with his book, nothing to do with his truth, them. Okay? And you have to identify them. You say, well, you shouldn't say them. Well, what else are you going to say? It's them. The Lord called them heathen, sinners. You see, you say, well, Christians are sinners too. Well, Christians are different. Christians are saints, according to the Scripture. But they are sinners only because they're still in the body. Christians are not sinners. Christians are saints that sin. That's a truth. Now, you look that up and you see what that Bible says about that. We are not the same. When you're born again and you're in the family of God, you're under a whole different a whole different outlook that the Lord looks at. The Bible says the wrath of God is on, that God hates the wicked every day. He said he's angry with the wicked every day. Mm-hmm. Says the wrath of God abides on them, just like it did us before the Lord saved us. And you in the world and without God in the world and blind and in darkness and children of darkness. We're not the children of darkness. We're the children of light, the Bible says. And it says, walk in the light. And it says, if you're a child of the light, then walk like you're in the light. And that's true. And the Lord is busy conforming us into the image of his Son. And what a wonderful thing that is. Listen, the person that the Lord is turning you into, you're living in eternity right now, and the Lord is busy working on you right now, conforming you into the image of his Son. And until Jesus comes back, that's a process. And he's working on you piece by piece. That's for our good. God doesn't need to be better. He wants us to be better, and he gives us his best, and you can believe that, and you can trust that. But the fiery trials, and talking about this unity thing, we hear a lot about unity in the world today and how everybody is for, let's all come together, let's all come together. Well, we're all the same. Everything's the same. Everything's relative, and there's no differences. Nobody's different. Well, that's a bunch of hogwash, and you know it. I mean, you have to lie to yourself to believe something like that. That all you have to do is open your eyeballs and look around you, and you can see that God has made everything different. The unification is in that diversity that the Lord created. The Lord showed, his Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You look at that sky every morning, and it'll be different every single morning. Look at it twice. Look at it three times a day. It'll be different every single time. There's nothing the same on this planet. Everything's different. There ain't no two human beings, even twins that are born, that you can't tell by looking at them. They're different. They're different. And that's the way the Lord intended it. And that's for His glory, to show what the Lord's, His creativity. The Lord is wonderful. And when we get in that frame of mind and believe like what the Bible says, it becomes beautiful to us. But we hear a lot about this unity today. And on the world's political scene, we have in place the United Nations. Talking about the United Nations, you ought to read some of the stuff that the United Nations have done to some other countries and have allowed to happen to other countries. There ain't nothing united about it. Many of the world leaders are advocating and actively promoting a one-world global system. And it's coming. The Bible tells us about that. But the Lord's doing it. He said He's going to bring all the nations together just like they want. And give them what they want, and then He's going to bring them to Jerusalem, and He's going to burn them. Yeah. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come down, and He's going to take care of that business once and for all, and He's going to take over and be Lord of heaven and earth. And He's going to rule 1,000 years from Jerusalem, from a throne, in a monarchy, and the whole planet's going to live by righteousness. And people are still going to be getting saved, and some people are going to die and go to hell and that, during that too. But and still ain't going to believe Him, and He's going to be right in front of them. So you see how ignorant man is, and how stubborn he is, and how powerful sin is to make a man turn completely against his Savior and against his God and hate Him and not want nothing to do with Him. And that's what the devil locked up. But it's going to happen. But the one-world global system, and it involves the monetary system and the judicial system and even the common language. Talking about this unity and the one-world government and everything. You know, they got all the computers are bringing all these languages together. They got one language software that you put on your computer, and you can speak any language to anybody, and it'll translate it, and you can just sit there and talk to somebody just like you're talking to somebody on a computer that speaks the same language that you do. And it translates. You know what it's called? Babylon. Isn't that something? The devil puts that stuff right in your face and prints it out for you. And people look at it and go, and have no idea that it's just a big mockery right there, and called it Babylon. Well, you know what Babylon is, don't you? That's where the Lord confused the languages. Remember? We're going to talk about that. But talking about the global system involving it involves a monetary system, the judicial system, a one-world government with one way of paying, one money system, one judicial system. They're already taking people that have done something wrong in the United States and flying them to another country to be judged in their courtroom for something they did in the United States. That's happening. That's happening. Just look through the news and see some of the garbage and the stupid stuff that's on there that's going on. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you can see them things. And you can see like the Lord sees. If you're reading your Bible and you're staying in your Bible and fighting the good fight of faith, you can see these things plainly. It's right there. And this ecumenical movement, significantly, we observe this present-day ecumenical movement. Which seeks to unite Christians and churches under the banner of a one-world religion. And that's coming, too. That's coming, too. You're talking about the devil and the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet. There's going to be religion involved in it for sure. Because there's so much talk about Christian unity these days, and everything is called a Christian. Everything's called Christian. Now, I'm a Christian. I am a Christian. And I know what I'm talking about when I say that. Because the reason I claim to be a Christian is because the Bible says that I'm a Christian. And they were first called Christians at Antioch. And that's right after the Lord, when people started getting saved by grace. And the church started. That's what they were named. Okay, I don't know who named them. I don't know where it comes from, but I think it's a pretty good name. Christians, followers of Christ. But they've corrupted it and it don't mean the same thing. Anybody is a Christian nowadays. They don't mean the same thing that I mean when I say it. Christians and churches are under the banner of the one world religion. It's coming and it's growing right in front of your face. And because there's so much talk about this Christian unity these days, and because our church is not involved, at all in the ecumenical movement yet, it's slowly getting in there, and the apostasy and the heresy and the turning away is happening in the church. Now, I'm talking about saved people. Saved people are mingling right in with the world, and pretty soon you're not going to be able to tell the difference. And it's already happening. This is Laodicean, the people's rights. And even though it's religion and it's Christianity, it's still going to be worldly and it's going to be devilish. And you say that can happen with Christianity? Yes. Yes. When you change lords, you change religion. And the Lord said there's going to be a great falling away. And there is. There is. All this theatrical stuff that goes on in our churches today and has nothing to do with glorifying Christ and glorifying our Lord and going in and learning something about His Word. It's got to do, and about truth. It's got to do with going to a theater and going in and playing theater and going through the motions and then going home. And religion. Religion's something that man does for God. Christianity is something that God done for man. Okay? All right. There's so much talk about this Christian unity these days, and because our church is not involved, so, well, the people that are serving the Lord and that are staying true to the Word of God and to their testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, not involved in all that ecumenical movement. The purpose of this study that we're doing right here, we're talking about unity, the letter U. The purpose of this study is to teach you what the Bible has to say about unity. That's what we're going to learn. What does the Bible say about unity? Not what we think, not what we want it to say, or what we could imagine about what unity is. If you had to define unity, do you think everybody would define it the same? Probably not. Unity has a lot to do with how you feel and what's going on in your life and whether your bank account's where you want it to be. And I mean, that what is unity? Unity. We're going to talk about what the Bible says and the way that the Lord says that we're supposed to be believing and adhering to having to do with unity. What we're supposed to believe about unity, because it comes from the Lord. That's what we want to believe. We're going to learn, you're going to learn what the Bible has to say about unity, the true and the false. We're going to look over all them things, or a lot of them, in this study. It's by no means exhausting it, but the Bible, there's all kinds of examples from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation having to do with unity and examples of unity and that the Lord has given us in there about what real unity is. Now, we're going to see what the Bible has to say, and not what it is thought to say. You go and ask people what unity is, they give you a whole bunch of different answers, and a lot of them won't line up with the Scripture. So let's do that. Now, the very first, let's move on into the first part of this lesson, and what we want to, let's just start where the Bible starts, having to do with unity. The very first time that unity is brought up as a subject in the Scriptures and something that the Lord wants us to learn something from was man's first attempt at unity. Man is always trying to come together in the name of unity, but man comes together, and all it is just a whole bunch of folks coming together. But under that heart, way down deep in that heart, it's like Jeremiah said. He says he speaks good to you from his mouth, but in his heart he lieth his weight. Yeah. That's man's unity. I'm going to get what I want, and I'm going to have, we're going to, we'll consider, I mean, yeah, all this government unity and all this blobbity United Nations and stuff, they always, that ever since that United Nations has been going, all they do is come together around the table and argue about who gets what and how we're going to do this and how we're going, that ain't unity. Unity means everybody thinking the same way, and I mean, everybody doing it the way it's supposed to be done, what's right and what's true and what's pure, what's honest, what's lovely, what's of good report, that way. And the only kind of unity I know of is the kind that the Lord and the Scriptures teach that have to do with that kind of unity. As far as man, when he comes together for unity, it's got all the bad things, ingredients involved in it. Greed, dishonesty, selfishness, power, all them kind of things. A whole bunch of different kind of unity when you say that, see. But we're going to talk about the first man's first attempt at unity. Now, that's in the Scriptures. Turn your Bible over to, you got your Bible there. Turn over to Genesis chapter 11. Right there in Genesis, the book of our beginning, where the Lord starts us out in the beginning. That's the book that the Lord has showed us all the beginnings and the things that that we should, when we think of the past, we got a place that we can go all the way back to and say it all began here. Or at least that's where the Lord wants us to begin. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? There's a lot of people talking about, I mean, every time I hear one of them evolution people and the Darwin's children, every time I hear one of them people speak, every one of them says something different about the age of something, whether they're talking about something different or they're talking about the exact same thing. Every one of them says a difference in the age of it or how far it went back. One of them will say 200 trillion years, and one of them will say about the same thing they're talking about, 63 trillion years. You know, there's a big difference in a trillion. Don't you know that? None of them can get those trillions right or those billions right. And they're talking about trillions and billions. The oldest people in the Bible was 900 and something years old. 969, I believe, was the oldest any man ever lived, according to the Scriptures. And that's not even 1,000 years. And they're talking about a million and a trillion and a billion and stuff like that years, and expecting a man be able to put that in his head and make sense of it. It's confusion is what it is. And that's what the Scriptures calls it. Confusion. Confusion, confusion. But they can't get it right. But these are the people that are bringing the unity in, see. And it's going to be, everything's going to come together. Everything's going to be all right. I'm all right. You're all right. Everybody's all right. That's not the truth. Let's see what the Bible says. All right, you're there in chapter 11. Let me read it to you. Verse 1 through 9. I'm going to read it to you. You ready? And the whole earth was of one language. Everybody spoke the same language. It wasn't no different languages. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. There's your unity. The Lord started everything out with everybody being able to understand each other and talk to each other. And the languages were the same. And everybody on the earth was the same. And could talk to anybody. And it came to pass, as they journeyed, now this is right after Noah. And what the Lord tell Noah when he got off of that boat, and them eight people, Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, got off the boat, what the Lord tell them? He said, go and replenish the earth and multiply and replenish the earth and spread out. Don't stick together. Spread out. Replenish. Inhabit the whole earth. Get away from one another and go everywhere on the earth and inhabit it. Okay, so the Lord's plan was for man to split up and get apart from one another and live. Okay, but what'd they do? Well, let's read on. And it came to pass as they... Who's they? Everybody on the earth that spoke the same language in one speech. And they journeyed from the east. that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, everybody in one place. And they said one to another, now here's what you do when man sticks together, speaks one language, everything come together. And it's right. Now look what it comes up with. It says, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. They're going to go to heaven on their own, see. They don't need God's help no more. And that's what happens when man comes together. He starts looking for a way to get to God without God. God's out. He's out, just like America. He's out. Get out, God. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. They've done exactly what God told them not to do. God told them, spread out. And what did they say? We're going to build us a tower and build us a city. And it said, lest we be scattered abroad. We don't want to spread out. We want to stick together and be one. Be one world government. One world people. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. The Lord said, they have all one language, they're all together, they're all people, the people is one. That's Laodicean. The people is one, the people's rights, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down. There's your Trinity. The Lord talking about him going down. And he says, let us. That's the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Look at that. That's a little bit of gold in there for you. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Boy, that King James Bible just makes everything so simple and so understandable, doesn't it? Confound their language. Why? That they may not understand one another's speech. God purposely went down there and confused their language and turned these over here speak Spanish now, these over here speak Chinese, these over here speak English, these over here speak Taiwanese, whatever it is. But he made all the languages there. That they may not understand another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad. Now, wait a minute. That's what they said. They exactly what they didn't want to do. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Well, you see what the Lord's will was. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. Spread them out. And they left off to build the city. You see what happened? The Lord saved them from corrupting themselves and causing him to come down and judge them, and maybe even destroy them. When man came together there, what was the first thing came to their mind while they were together? Well, we're going to build us a temple, or build us a house, and build us a city, and build us a tower, and we're going to get up to heaven, reach up to heaven. That's how man is when he comes together. He starts getting proud, and starts getting boastful, and starts trying to take God's place. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. And that's what we was talking about a while ago. Babylon. It's called Babel. Why? Because the Lord did there confound their language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now there it is. That's man's first attempt at unity. You see, in the beginning, Genesis, only 11 chapters into Genesis. That's after creation. That's after getting kicked out. That's after having Adam and Eve having their children. That's after the first murder. That's going on down through there. And after all this, naming all the animals and the plants and the Lord creating everything and coming on down through there. And there's man. And man's got one language. And what's he come up with? he just comes up with something that he's going to just go against God. So the Lord confounded their language, and off they went, and he scattered them for their own good. Now, nothing's changed. It's been 2,000 years since the Lord, 2,000 years and plus since the Lord Jesus Christ came, and then probably another 2,000 and something, 2,500 or something like that, when all this was going on, maybe even more than that. Don't have all the numbers, but just that's about it. But man's first attempt at unity, now there in chapter 11. Now here you're going to read what we just got through reading is about the events which took place soon after the great flood of Noah's day, which was probably around 2300 BC before the Lord Jesus Christ. And what went on, what we was just talking about. Now, let's go through some questions about this and find out what the Scripture's talking about. According to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1, what we read, the whole earth was, the Bible says that that God's command to Noah and his sons was to replenish the what? Was to replenish the earth, the whole face of the earth. God told man, take your wives, leave, get away from one another, and multiply. Make babies and populate the earth. Now, what could be better than that? And God ruling and him in charge, and you got a brand new earth. There's no corruption on it at all. And he said, spread out. So the Lord said in 9:1 right there, God commanded Noah and his sons was to replenish the earth. And that's not all. According to Genesis chapter 11 and verse 2, instead of obeying God, the descendants of Noah remained in one place called the Plain of what? The Plain of Shinar. The Plain of Shinar. Everybody stayed there. They was traveling. They found a good place, a plain that was spread out right there where everybody fit just right. And they started building them a city right there. So this is a good piece of property. Let's just stay here. And they called the place was called the Plain of Shinar. Okay, and that's not all. According to Genesis chapter 11 in verse 1, the whole earth was of one what? You answer that. It was of one what? Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. It was of one language. And of one what? One speech. Everybody could understand. You know, they were all talking about one thing, and that was unity. They all had the same language. That's speaking the same words to one another. But it says they all had the same speech also. They were all talking about the same thing. And what was that? Unity. Unity, man. Let's all come together. I'm all right, and you're all right, and everybody's all right. Da, 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 da. Genesis chapter 11, 4. Now, in Genesis chapter 11, 4, the inhabitants of the whole world decided to build two things. Do you remember what they were? What did we just get through reading? They decided to build them a city. And what was that an attempt to do? A city, an attempt to bring about political unity. They wanted to have political unity. And the tower was to achieve what? Religious unity. You see that? They said they wanted to reach the heaven. Man! And all of them come together, and that's what they come up with. Now, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, the reason the people wanted to build the city and the tower was what? We went over that. It said, what'd they say? Well, what'd they say? The Bible says right there, it says, and they said, this is what they come up with. This is the reason. Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. First thing they wanted to do was to glorify themselves, make us a name, and then what else? Kick God out and not be scattered upon the face of the whole earth like God commanded us to do. Disobedience to the Lord. That's what happens when man comes together. He comes up with ideas that to kick God out and make a name for himself. You agree with that? You should, because that is exactly the kind of unity this world's talking about right now. You see, this kind of unity with man is not a foreign thing to the Lord. The Lord's seen this stuff before. He knows how to handle it, and he's going to handle it, and he is handling it. But he says in the scriptures that he's going to bring all these nations, these united nations, he's going to let them all get together and let them all get together just like they was, except this time he ain't going to confuse no language. He's going to get them all to go over to Jerusalem, and he's going to destroy them. That's not all. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, now, did we answer that? The reason for the people wanted to? Why? That they wanted to build a city and a tower so they could make them a name and so they wouldn't be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. That was the reason. They didn't want to separate like God said, and they wanted to make them a name instead of giving God the glory. Now, I remind you, not many years behind them was the flood where God just killed everybody on planet Earth. Just drowned everybody on the earth. And not many years before them. Now, this wasn't too far off from the flood. And the Lord just killed everybody for their behavior and for their rebellion and for their wickedness. It said that God couldn't take it no more. It got so wicked on the earth. Now, there's a lot more to that having to do with the fallen angels and stuff like that. And we get into that some of that some other time. But either way, the human beings and the population of the earth was wicked. Wicked enough that it come up and the Lord said, okay, that's enough. I'm fixing to kill everything on the earth. That's your lovey-dovey God. That's the lovey-dovey Jesus. You know, wants to just kiss everybody and hug everybody and just kissy, kissy, kissy. That's your lovey-dovey God. That's the judgment of God. That's God as a judge. You better believe God loves people. God loves people that love him. He loved us before, but he especially loves you when you obey him and when you accept his son and you want to be on his side and be in his family. But when you rebel and you turn away from the Lord and you're the enemy of God, God says, you don't want me, I don't want you. And he showed it, didn't he? He flooded the place, killed everybody. And not many years after that, here we go. The whole earth is together speaking the same language, and all they want to do is build them a city and build them a tower. That's the only thing they could come up with. And they ain't far off in intelligence and I mean, you're talking about not many generations down from Adam. And Adam was a perfect human being made in the image and the likeness of God. I mean, Adam was so smart that that he named everything on the planet that breathed. Can you do that? I'll tell you what, go in there in your refrigerator and open it up, and everything that's in there, name it. Name it something new. Name everything in your refrigerator. I mean, if you got six bottles in there, make up six new names for it. And names that you ain't never heard of. And make up six new names for that, and then your mustard and your mayonnaise. And see if you can just name the refrigerator contents, huh? Adam named everything that breathed on the earth that God created. And that was just off the top of his head. That wasn't even thinking. Adam was perfect in his intelligence as God made him. And so was Eve. And these Darwin's babies or whatever they are, they're telling us that we're getting smarter. Uh-uh. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. But these people, not many generations off talking about unity, they want to build them a city and a tower rather than worship God and spread out and have high fences between good neighbors, you see. And that's not all. According to verse 11, verse 6, the Lord decided to stop the people from building for the reason of what? What did he stop them for? The Bible says, and let, the Lord said, let us, or they said, let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them. So why did the Lord do that? For the reason of restraint. The Lord decided to stop the people from building for the reason of restraining them and their imaginations. He said, man, I just let them off the boat. I mean, God lives in eternity. It must have been just then, you know. He said, I just let them off the boat and got a brand new earth and told them to spread out. And trying to give them everything in the world, and what do? They come together and stick together here, and they're going to build a stupid city and a stupid tower that they think they're going to reach up to where I'm at. And this they imagine to do? He said, now nothing's going to be restrained from them. They're going to come up with some real stupid stuff now. So I got to restrain this. And the Lord said there, the Lord decided to stop the people from building for the reason of restraining them and their imaginations. And what's going on today right in front of your face? You hear it almost every day in some way, form, or fashion about unity and coming together. Why? Because man wants to be one. And he wants God out. He wants man in power, the political. And he also wants to be in charge of religious things, too. Isn't it funny how and peculiar how one thing in the world is known that countries try to outdo one another? You know what it is? You know what's competitive between every country in the world that's got any kind of money that they want to do, and one thing that they always try to outdo each other on? You know what one thing is? Building the highest building. Yeah. Am I right? Yeah. That's exactly what they want to do. Well, this one reaches another 100 feet. It's taller than the Titanic on standing straight up. Now, this one here is higher than America's. Now, this one here is higher than China's. That's what they do. They try to... Isn't that peculiar that it would be towers? What was it called? The Twin Towers? How about that? Hey, God is so right, ain't he? That book is so perfect. God's Word is so perfect. So perfect. There's not one mistake in it. Not one mistake. It's perfect. It's God's words. That's what you should believe. Now, what's God say there? What's he teaching us there? He's teaching us that when man stays together, he messes things up. God's intention for man is to stay apart from one another and fellowship every now and then, but go home and stay away from one another and don't get together, because when you get together, you're going to start having some stupid thoughts and imaginations, and you're going to not be restraining yourself from doing something that's going to make me mad and make me drown you. According to Genesis chapter 11, verse 5 through 8 that we read there, would you say the Lord was pleased with man's attempt to bring about a one-world situation there? No, he wasn't. The Lord wasn't pleased with it one bit. As a matter of fact, he kind of said, I can't even believe that this is going on. Some of them people down there in that city, great-great-great-great-great-grandpa was Noah. And they know the story about what went on back there and all that. And this is what they're doing? He was kind of disgusted with it, wasn't he? So he tried to save them and give them a little grace and confuse their language and spread them out. And he did. And there's where you get your different languages. You don't have to go back a bazillion years old and say that this language started from some scribbling on the inside of a cave wall or some kind of gobbledygook like that. The Lord made the languages. And then the cultures come in and languages and dialects and all that kind of stuff changed a little bit. But the bottom line is the languages are different because God made them different. And he done it to keep man from destroying himself or causing the Lord to destroy him. And man knew, it's just like Jesus said when he was here. He didn't, it said, because he knew what was in man. So see, that's what this thing of unity, we're talking about unity. Now let's just, we got a good beginning here. Let's just sum it up here. God's intentions about unity is what? The only unity the Lord talks about in the Scriptures is unity in the body of Christ and unity with Him. But as far as man's unity among each other and with each other having to do with the world, there is none. The only unity among men and women that's in the Scriptures has to do with the body of Christ. And that's spiritual unity. And that's in the body of Christ. And talking about unity in the family. And talking about things that the Scripture talks about. And we're going to get into all that. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. But talking about unity. But as far as the world and people and the multitudes and the different, like China being over here and the United States being over here, and you're talking about the Western Hemisphere and the Eastern, the Eastern Hemisphere, and talking about South America and North America and all these different languages and all this stuff, the Lord has done everything He can to split everybody up. And what's man doing right now? He's trying to come together again. And that's what we're going to talk about on our next recording. Is we talked about man's first attempt at unity on this one. To kind of break the ice and get into talking about this unity. And see what God's opinion about unity is. God's all for unity. But God knows what unity is. Man does not know what unity is. Because man's stingy and greedy and selfish. And he's a sinner. And he takes advantages of weaknesses. And he's self-centered. And he's a sinner. When God talks about unity, he's talking about true unity. He's talking about unity that's holy and pure and honest and righteous and truth. He's talking about that kind of unity. And there's a difference. And when we, as we go through this study, we're going to find out what the Scriptures say about unity so that you can have your thoughts and your mind and your foundation and your doctrine right when it comes to unity. If you're reading your Bible and you're walking in the Spirit like the Lord commanded us to do, and you're letting God, the Holy Ghost, as best you know how, control your thinking and control your life and the Word of God controlling your life, all you got to do is look around you and you can see what man's doing having to do with unity and why he's doing it. And you know where it's going to end up? Instead of God flooding everything, he's going to burn it this time. That's what the Bible says. And we'll get into some of that another time. Now, one last thing here. What was the name given to the attempt? The first attempt of everybody in the world coming together right there. What was it? Babel. Babel. And You know what Babel, the definition of Babel is? The definition of Babel is a confusion of voices and other sounds, a confusion of tongues. It was called Babel. They named it Babel, and they didn't even know why. Because God come down after that, and he confused their tongues. They couldn't understand one another. You know, their tongue, what they speak, their tongue, their language, confused it. And Babel means something else when you break it apart. Bab means gate. And El, of course, means God. A gate to God. Babel. Yeah, leave it to man. Leave it to man. There's something behind it every time when you leave it to man. Because he's wicked. And that's what's in him. And that's what we are. That's not what we do. That's what we are. We sin because we are sinners. That's it. That's why we need to be born again. Because we are sinners. Not because we sin, but because of what we are. You're corrupt. You have a curse on you. And you can't get it off. And that's what you are at the fall of man. And that's why you die. But all that can be fixed through the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting his death, his burial, and resurrection, and asking him to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. The Lord saved me about 41 years ago over in Ramstein, Germany, and I had no idea what was going on, and he's been with me ever since. Ever since. Ever since. Now, I've went off to try to build a city and a tower a few times. But the Lord carries a big strap, and he knows how to use it. And we don't want no more of that, do we? Well, listen, you hang in there and don't you quit. Don't you dare quit. And we're going to study some more of this unity, and we're going to talk about man's final attempt at unity. We're going to get into that on the next one. In the book of Revelation, and some in the Corinthians and Ephesians, and everywhere it talks about this final attempt. That man, you mean man's going to try it again? Yep, sure is. Then we're going to talk about true unity versus false unity. There's the difference. There sure is. The Bible shows it to us, too. The Bible speaks of unity as one. Remember, one. And then we're going to talk about unity that we need to be concerned about. Unity that we need to be concerned about. And see, you know, like the command of church unity. What's the Bible say about church unity? What's the Bible say about real church unity? Does it talk about, the Lord talks about unity all through the Scriptures, but it's got to be the kind of unity that the Lord says is unity. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. And the only scripture that we need to be concerned with right now, I guess, is let me give you these scriptures that we went through. And if you want to jot them down, and I'll give you all the ones that we talked about today. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 through 9. And Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And some of these are going to be repeated, but just forgive me for that. I put them down like this for the purposes of teaching. Genesis chapter 11, 2. Genesis chapter 11, 1. Again, now this is in order as we were talking and as we were learning today, as far as man's first attempt at unity. Genesis 11, 4. Genesis 11, 6. Genesis 11, 5 through 8, and then Genesis 11, 9 was the last one that we talked about. Man's first attempt at unity. Amen. Well, kind of looks like unity in the Scriptures is finding out what the Lord really thinks about this matter, about man coming together and getting the truth about it. It's a little different than the world thinks, isn't it? Sure is. Okay, well, this is Brother Thurman, and I thank you for joining in. Always thank you for that. And the Lord bless you for your sincerity and for for studying God's Word on purpose. God bless you for that. And I hope you have a wonderful afternoon or evening. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.